All right, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Good Advice Podcast. You're tuning into what I think is the best resource to teach you how to grow and scale your business. And I'm coming at you as the host of the podcast. My name's Blake Benz. I've been doing this podcast for about 5 years now, a little over 5 years. And I'll tell you something, I've learned a thing or two about running a business. And it's not easy. It's not as simple as we make it out to be. And yet, there are some pretty wildly simple concepts that if you just do these things, it will grow your business. I'm learning this more and more as time goes on, as I talk to more and more business owners, as people even come on the podcast and share their stories. I'm realizing that, man, there's really not anything new under the sun. It's how well can you follow the good advice that's out there versus be mesmerized by the bad advice that often looks pretty dang good. So all that to say, wherever you are in your business, whether you're just starting out or you've been at it long term, today we're going to be talking about wowing your customer and this book that I've been thinking about. Someone mentioned it to me a long time ago. It keeps coming up. This book called Unreasonable Hospitality. I'm learning more and more the magic, the value of really wowing a customer. We're going to be talking about that today on the show. And more importantly, how to turn a one-time buyer into a lifelong fan of your business. But before we dive in, we do have a quick word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the show. Of course, these amazing sponsors are what keep the show going. So, hey, if you like the podcast, you can always visit our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice. Or you can check out, you can email me, blake@goodadvicecoaching.com to ask about one of our advertising packages. All right, all that to say, let's get back to this ad and we'll be right back soon.
We talk to all sorts of business owners on the podcast, and one of the most common trends is business owners who just, for whatever reason, didn't fit in the corporate environment. A lot of entrepreneurs are seeking something, they're seeking an answer, and they're trying to figure out the simple question of, how do I fit in the world? And more importantly, is there a way to make a living that doesn't involve the traditional 9-to-5 job? One of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to entrepreneurs is, hey, you got to learn about who you are, what drives you, your motivation. That's why I want to tell you about this book, Your Turning Point, 33 Questions for Transformation. I love the impact I've been able to make through Good Advice and the Good Advice Podcast, but that would not have been doable without taking an honest assessment of who I was today and who I wanted to be tomorrow. Go to the website, the33questions.com, and get yourself a copy of Your Turning Point by Stephen J. Blank, and let's continue on this road for transformation together. Again, the website is the33questions.com, where you can buy your book today.
So this isn't a new concept. This isn't something that, it's not like something we just, like, the light bulb went on and we're talking about it for the first time on the show. If you've listened to the podcast long term, you know I've talked about this, and you know that it just keeps coming up again and again. And I don't even mean just on the show. I'm finding out over and over and over again the value, the deep value of a repeat customer. There's actually a couple things that I'm thinking of. There's a woman named Kelly Robbins. She works, she's part of business development with one of our local banks, United Bank. And this is someone who is incredibly intentional. Very intentional. In fact, every time I see this person, I just feel like this person oozes not just confidence, but intentionality. Like, you could feel like you're the only one in the room, right? And she might even listen to the podcast, actually, now that I think about it. So she's a Patreon supporter of the podcast. Right? She at least likes enough of what we're doing here. But when you think about banking, you don't really think about that warm personal side of things. Banking often has a very sterile stereotype, I guess. I mean, it's just, it's like you're going to the bank, you know, and here's what's kind of fun about it. This is why I joked at the start of the episode that there's really not anything new under the sun. Because if you think back to like how banking was probably done years ago, before national banks were a thing, you know, you'd go to your local bank, you'd go to your local butcher shop, you'd go to your local what have you. And there was much more of a personality and a personalness there that I think a lot of people have lost track of. A lot of people are so consumed with the concept of scale that we really lose sight on the magic of, I don't want to say the magic of local, but like because I think about some of my customers that aren't local at all, where we have this kind of relationship, but like a genuine, honest relationship. So compare that with another bank. You know, I don't have an issue. I don't have any issues naming them on the podcast. You know, I don't think they're ever going to, you know, turn a corner, do things differently. But Bank of America, I've had a Bank of America checking account since I was, I think, 14 years old. It's been over 20 years that I've had this exact same account. And I love what my friend said about this, because I was really annoyed, and I'm also annoyed as of late at them. But it's one of those things, right, where, you know, you have the same thing for so long, like all your accounts are all under the same thing, that it becomes very excruciating to even change things. But I remember I was talking to someone about this, and the person was like, you know, like, they don't even know your name. And that really, it stuck with me, and it struck me in a way of like, yeah, I've been a customer for 20 plus years at this bank. They have no idea who I am. And I don't even mean that like the National Bank of America has no idea who I am. Like the local bank, I mean, and now they've pretty much gone out of business. I think we only have one locally now, maybe two. But the local branch would have no concept of who I am. And here's the deal. This isn't about like ego or like, you know, when I go into the bank, people should know who I am. I don't give a rip about any of that stuff. But when you've been a customer for someone for 20 years, I don't think it's a bad idea that that person should have a little bit of customer clout. You know, I could tell you that Ronald McDonald House Charities is they are my longest running customer. I've had them for years. And when the CEO calls me, you can know that phone is getting picked up every time, every single time, because I deeply value and respect them as an organization, of course, but the dollars that they've invested with me, they could have easily used anybody else. I have plenty of competitors that are probably great options, but it's about understanding and valuing that a customer chose you. So how do you communicate intentionality? Now, today's episode is a bit beyond like appreciate your customers, I guess. Today's episode is a little bit beyond, you know, hey, you should know your customers' names, which is ideally a given. But I think about actually one guy that I feel like this keeps coming up on the podcast. Like I need to go to therapy or something, right? Cause I feel like I keep telling this story, but it's so relevant that I find myself in like this, I don't say like middle ground. Like I'm seeing the two sides of the coin, or I guess ditch to ditch really. And I see like the route that a lot of people go. And then I see the route that a few go and what it can mean for your business. But I think about a guy that I paid several thousand dollars to early on in my business, who to this day would have no idea who I am, my name, anything about me. And that's the way this person has done business. Now, this person also in our conversations, or rather this person's mass conversations with a lot of us as their customers, talked a lot about the fact that they were having a high number of returns and chargebacks and people unhappy with the services and yada, yada, yada. Like that is the way that person has chosen to do business. Me on the flip side, I think about the other ditch. Ditch makes it sound bad. That's why I didn't like ditch to ditch. But the other side of the coin, understanding the value of a customer for life, someone who buys again and again, somebody who not just buys from you, but talks about you over and over again. I mean, your name comes up. It's almost like they're your unofficial, you know, sponsor. I mean, they're always recommending you. They're always promoting you. You know, their family and friends are like, we get it. You know, I mean, I had a friend of mine I was on a phone call with, and they were like, yeah, anytime someone asks about business, we're like, hey, check out the Good Advice podcast. And I was like, you know, hey, thank you for, you know, being obnoxious to people on my behalf. But I'm just learning more and more that there's a way to do business, and the way that has always made sense to me is pretty,
I don't want to say it's rare as in I'm the only one who gets it. It's rare in that many business people do not have the patience or the intentionality for it. I bring this up. I posted about this on LinkedIn today, but I had a customer I was talking to and we were talking and, you know, it's always great where, and I have a lot of candid conversations with my customers. I'm always trying to get feedback. I'm always trying to understand a little bit better the nature of my work and my services in the sense of, are you happy? And there's a way to do this, by the way. Maybe this is like a whole separate episode at some point. There's a way to do this where you don't sound needy or insecure or affirm me, please. Like, oh, please tell me I'm great. You know, things like that. There's a way to ask for feedback in a way where you're genuine and honest and it's about the business and, you know, we're moving forward. Right. So I find myself in these conversations often of, you know, are you happy with our work? Hey, let's talk about the outcomes. Does this line up with what you were expecting? And even as I describe it, that even sounds more formal than it actually is. And this is something else entirely in that I have seen some real crazy. Hang on. All right. Sorry about that. In true fashion of recording at home, I heard my son, like, I heard something crash and it was loud enough where I thought I should probably check on that. But fortunately everyone's okay. Anyway, so I lost my train of thought of what I was talking about because it was so sudden, this noise that I heard. But you know, when you think about this, understanding for a second that, you know, we're not talking about politeness or kindness. And I think a lot of times when we talk about customer service, it's very much a check the box kind of thing. And we assume that I honestly run into this a lot, like from a management conversation, because I work with teams a lot as well. And we talk about great leadership and we talk about great culture. And one of the things that is really hard to help a business understand is that culture is not accidental and that it is constantly being shaped. And just like if you want a good marriage, I have to choose to be intentional with my wife. If you want a healthy team, you have to choose to be intentional with your team. Most people don't do that. Most people, you know, yeah, pizza party, here you go. You know, they swipe the card, order 10 pizzas, and they, you know, they ordered it from the discount pizza place and it costs them $50 at most. And they're like, here you go. You know, our employees are happy now. We've made a great culture. This, by the way, was a rude awakening for many businesses during COVID. I remember talking to businesses during COVID and talking to business owners who were like, hey, we need to create a great culture. Like we're really having a hard time. And it was like, well, it's a little late for that. You know, you're out of time now. In the same way, though, you can't accidentally give great service to your customers. Like this is something you have to be intentional about. And like anything else, being intentional means putting thought towards it, being mindful about it, dedicating not just time, but resources. You know, and understanding too, that like every customer is different. Like now I'm on this weird, like analogy with like your married spouse, you know, whatever. You know, you might have a spouse who doesn't always want you to buy them something. And you may have a customer who doesn't really want to spend time with you. So it's, and now the podcast is kind of going in this weird direction of like, you know, let me teach you how to be just a normal human being to somebody. What does it mean to have a normal relationship with someone? But all I can do is just really, man, it's just to explain and tell the story of customers that I have who genuinely love working with me. And it's not everybody. I've certainly had customers over the years that I've thought, ooh, I missed the mark there. Ooh, I could have done better. That wasn't quite the right fit. Or, ooh, that wasn't really what they were looking for, but I thought it was. And then, you know, this is all just the process of trying to do business better. But I will say when customers fall in love with me, they fall in love hard. So what I want to do today I want to talk about this book, Unreasonable Hospitality. And where this all came out of is I was talking to a customer today, and this customer was so happy and energized as we were wrapping up a conversation that my customer was like, "Hey, I'm going to send you a check. You know, actually, what the customer said was invoice me. And I said, invoice you. What am I invoicing you for? And we're just having a conversation about our business together. And he goes, invoice me. And I go, well, there's nothing to invoice. And he's like, no, I want you to invoice me just for being a great business. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. And I kind of thought he was just kind of joking around, but he was like, no, I'm serious. Like this has been so great. You've saved me money. Like this is, you're better than someone else that I use, yada, yada. I want you to invoice me. And it kind of struck me. I told the story months ago about a customer of mine who wrote me a thank you card. And it struck me the irony of when a customer writes you a thank you card instead of the other way around, like they paid you and they're writing you a thank you card. Here I have this customer saying, hey, I need to give you some more money, which maybe that's a sign my prices are too low. I don't know. It struck me how bizarre and backwards this was. And I was thinking about it and I thought, yeah, okay, this is a customer I've been extremely intentional with. So let's talk about this book, Unreasonable Hospitality. This book is, and I'm going to butcher it now because I don't have it up in front of me, but essentially this person who owned a restaurant in New York and the business did really well. And to this day, it's an amazing restaurant has an amazing reputation about it. One of the things that is the core tenet of the book is doing things that other people would call unreasonable in order to make your customer feel valued, welcome, special, like your only customer you have. See, I think a lot of times in business, we do check the box. We check the box and we send the polite email and the, oh, thank you. Thank you for your business. You know, thumbs up. I'll go and say it's extremely obnoxious when somebody works with you and you mail them your swag. Your customer does not care about your swag. Unless you're Nike and you have cool stuff to wear, people do not care about your swag. But what someone does is, hey, thanks for your business. Here's the invoice. I'm going to mail you some swag, you know, what have you. And it misses the mark on what does it really mean to show value to someone. So I have done all sorts of things and I'm still playing with a lot of the stuff to figure out what I even really like, but I'll send customers coffee. I'll typically ask customers, like as we're closing the deal, I'll say, hey, do you like coffee? And here's, you know, maybe this is just the fun part of me. I don't know. The former camp counselor side of me, I'll never be like, hey, I want to mail you coffee. Do you like it? I'll ask some general questions like in the original, like before the sale is closed, you know, hey, do you like coffee? Or I'll sit down with somebody. I had somebody that I did some business with and we were meeting for coffee and I said, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And he goes, oh, I don't drink coffee. So like, that's a data point now for when the deal is done, I'm not sending him coffee. I'm not sending him Onyx coffee. Now to a lot of customers, I send Onyx coffee, but I'm not sending him Onyx coffee. I'm sending him something else, right? Or I had a guy on the podcast who is a big cocktail guy. So I found this cool little, book on, you know, America's best cocktails or whatever. So I'm mailing that over to him. There's just little things that you can do. I guess I should boil this episode down to what does it mean to be a great gift giver? But going back to the book, Unreasonable Hospitality, there's a story in there. It's a New York restaurant. There's a story in there about a patron who's at the dinner table. And one of the servers overhears the patron talking about, oh man, I would kill for a New York styled hot dog. I got to get one of those streetcar hot dogs before we leave. Yada, yada. Server overhears this, tells the chef, I mean, whoever. And what they do is they go out, they get a New York streetcar hot dog or side cart hot dog, and they put it on a plate and they pretty it up a little bit, and then they bring it out and they say, hey, we overheard you saying you wanted a New York, it's your first time in New York and you want a hot dog. We went ahead and went out and grabbed this and got it for you. Now, there's no charge here. They don't also like add to the bill, you know, yeah, $400 for our time, right? I mean, it's just, and here's why I love this concept is because there's so many people out there who are going to scream against this and say, that's not profitable. You can't do that long term. You can't do that big picture. It's going to cost you too much money, too much time. You could be spending that elsewhere. But what that does is it creates a truly meaningful experience that makes a big difference. When we talk about customer service, think for a second, how many times have you had a truly memorable customer experience? When's a time you can look back and say, wow, that business blew me away. I've never had an experience like that. I would venture to guess that you can maybe think of two or three times in your life, maybe four or five. You could probably only think of a handful. And that's how rare it is. And yet, when I talk to new business owners or young entrepreneurs and I say, well, what makes your business different? What I often hear is we give great customer service. And that's the disconnect, is we've confused politeness with the intentionality and power of authenticity, of really crafting a meaningful experience for your customer. This is why I loved bringing up Kelly Robbins at the start of the episode, as you know, this person who works for a bank, knew that my kids had been sick, that my wife was exhausted, and she bought a massage for my wife. Hey, you could probably use an hour off. You could probably use a day off. You know, she probably noticed me fumbling for business cards out of my pocket and, you know, pulling out a pile of business cards to trade at networking events. And she got me a card holder. Like, these are just, there's no quid pro quo to this. There's no, hey, and if you don't mind, you know, recommend. Literally, that's it. It was, hey, yeah, appreciate you. Hope this makes a difference for you. Hope this helps. And what I've learned is when you give freely, freely in the sense of there's no strings attached to it, that's just doing good business. I almost am in this situation now where I'm almost like one-upping myself. Like I have this one customer I'm sending some stuff off to, and it's like $100 of stuff. Like, I kept thinking, like, ooh, this would be really cool to get them. And I thought to myself, am I really going to spend this much money on their, like, really? Am I really doing that? I got another customer who loves to golf, so I'm trying to get golf balls with their logo embroidered on it. I mean, it's just, you know, I guess it gets to the point where it's less about the cost and it's more about the value to the customer, right? But now, I mean, on the fair side of things, I think your amount that you can spend and be intentional with, you will have to be a bit more creative versus the amount of money a customer brings you. You know, if you run like an e-commerce store and like the average customer spend is 30 something, it's like $30, you're probably not going to spend $100 on that customer. But here's how it could make sense. Let's say that let's take Dunkin' and Stone, one of our local businesses. They have an e-commerce store. Dunkin' and Stone, they've advertised in the podcast. You've probably heard them before, but they sell these really amazing journals and keepsake notebooks and things like that. Well, when someone buys like a wedding journal, I don't even know if they sell wedding journals, but let's say someone buys a wedding journal. And in addition to the wedding journal, you find out who it's for, you know, what have you, and you write, you know, you slip a little personalized note in there. Hey, you know, wishing you years of love, you know, sign the Dunkin' and Stone. See, now that I've said this, now they're going to feel like they have to do this. But I always liked how Chewy, do you guys know Chewy, the dog food company? This is actually the perfect example. Chewy has an amazing reputation in the customer service world. Here's why. They could very easily be a brand where they're selling dog food at scale. Like, let's just totally simplify this. Imagine like a massive, you know, 10,000 gallon vat of dog food and like a crane that just, you know, scoops it out and dumps it in buckets, and those buckets get sealed and shipped down. It goes all over the country. They could very easily do it that way. That's how most businesses do it, by the way, and not literally, but it's about scale. It's how do I do this as fast and cheaply and efficiently as possible? Not the case for Chewy. If you cancel your order, your subscription to Chewy, and they ask you why, and your dog has passed away, not only will they refund you an order, they'll send you flowers in the mail. Hey, I'm sorry for your loss. Something that is very personal to someone, losing a pet can be like losing a loved one. Here's a business that understands that. Probably, I mean, it's not profitable for them. You're not going to buy anything else from your pet has passed away. You have no reason to buy from them again. And this is why I love this, is that they make the expense to send you flowers, even though there's no ROI to it. Does it make sense? It's illogical from the scale game, from the scale conversation. That's what's fun about this. Now, whatever you're spending, or rather whatever your customers are spending on you, you'll scale your gifts and what you do according to the amount of money you're bringing in. But I will say this, I would say never let the amount your customers spend on you be an excuse to not be intentional. Every customer who works with me, I send them a video. It's a Welcome to the Good Advice Tribe video. Do they care about being part of the tribe? No, they don't. But what they get is a very quick 60 second. I say their name. Hey, Brad. Hey, thanks. I'm really excited, man. Thanks for working with me. I'm excited about our partnership. It's 60 seconds and it's just a very quick, hey, thank you. The point of that, it doesn't cost me anything, but it's just enough, one step more personal than the automated email that everyone gets. Hey, name, thanks for your purchase. You know, the automated email that we all know isn't like some computer generated it. And I think that's the secret sauce, is be creative and look for ways. How can you do it one step more intentional, more personal, and really think about wowing your customers? That's how you build a tribe of raving fans. That's how you have customers that buy again and again. And even if they're never your customer, it doesn't matter, because you're still doing the right thing. You're being intentional and caring for people, which I think we could probably use a little bit more of, right? These people will be, even if they're not your customer, they'll be your best referral partner. They'll rant and rave about you. Tony Lugent, who's one of our local business people with Toyota. Very easy to refer business to her. I've never bought a car from her, but I've referred my neighbor to her who's bought two cars from her. And I think that's also another piece of it, is we are so short-term minded. It's like, what have you done for me lately? Are you going to get me a sale right now? Are you going to buy from me right now? Tony's at a lot of events. She's meeting a lot of people. She's networking. She's making genuine relationships. So when it came time for my neighbor to buy a car and then buy his second car, Tony's an easy referral. And that's because Tony understands the long game. So resist the temptation to be short-term oriented and think about it. How does your business craft a truly meaningful customer experience? How do you truly create raving fans where they insist on giving you more money? Where they insist on buying again? What's the next thing? What can we do next? It's more than politeness, it's intentionality. And in the meantime, check out the book, Unreasonable Hospitality. You might like it. Hey, that's today's episode today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode and bearing with some of the interruptions in today's podcast. We'll be back later this week to talk more good advice. We have a great episode coming out in a couple of days. But until then, that's today's good advice. We'll catch you later. See ya.